That I have eyes to see. I have ears to hear. That you're working on me. And this word will awaken me. And I know that my failures are turning into blossoms. Watch what happens when the fruit show up. Hallelujah. My failures are not an end to it all. And they are not part of my old patterns. Because God is turning them into blossoms. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You've got a plan. And it's awesome in my sight. Yes, it's the Lord's doing. I don't always understand. But I trust by choice. I'm going to take you to James chapter 5 because that's what I heard loud and clear in the Passion Translation. James chapter 5, which is also Jacob. You know, I'm going to give you a verse that I pray will change your attitude about one prayer, one single individual. Verse 17. Elijah was a man with human frailties. Elijah was a man with human frailties, weaknesses, failures in his past. See the connection? Just like all of us. But he prayed and received supernatural answers. He actually shut the heavens over the land so there would be no rain for 3.5 years. There's your prayer of faith. He was a man. He had human frailties. Are you catching on to what I'm trying to say to you? Okay? Now, verse 18, he prayed again and the skies opened up over the land so that the rain came again and produced the harvest. One man, one prayer. Oh, you're wasting your time interceding right now. Oh, there's only three of you here. That was the message yesterday. One puts 10,000 to flight. Two puts how many? One puts 1,000. Two puts?
10,000.
Okay. What about the number three? What does that do? 100,000. So the multiplication goes into huge numbers because of your ability to believe. Verse 1, warning to the rich, listen all you who are rich, for it's time to weep and howl over the misery that will overtake you. Your riches lie rotting, your fine clothing eaten by moths, and your gold and silver are corroded as a witness against you. You have hoarded up treasures for the last days, but it will become a fire to burn your flesh. Listen, can't you hear the cries of the laborers over the wages you fraudulently held back from those who worked for you? The cries for justice of those you've cheated have reached the ears of the Lord's of armies, have reached the ears of the Lord of armies. You have indulged yourself with every luxury and pleasure this world offers, but you're only stuffing your heart full for a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered good and innocent people who had no power to defend themselves. Meanwhile, brothers and sisters, we must be patient and filled with expectations as we wait for the appearing of the Lord. Think about the farmer who has to patiently wait for the earth's harvest as it ripens because of the early and latter rain. So you also keep your hopes high and be patient, for the presence of the Lord is drawing closer. Since each of you are part of God's family, never complain or grumble. Doesn't say part-time. Mm-hmm. It just says never. Okay? Grumble about each other so that judgment will not come upon you. So when you find fault, Romans 2, it comes back upon you. So don't open that door. If you criticize and find fault, you're in for trouble. In fact, you could be in the desert for 40 years. So that judgment will not come upon you, for the true judge is near and very ready to appear. My brothers and sisters, take the prophets as your mentors. They have prophesied in the name of the Lord, and it brought them great suffering. Yet they patiently endured. We honor them as our heroes because they remain faithful even while enduring great suffering. As you heard of all that Job went through, and we can now see that the Lord ultimately treated him with wonderful kindness, revealing how tender-hearted he really is. Above all, we must be those who never need to verify our speech as truthful, but swearing by heavens or earth or any other oath. But instead, we must be so full of integrity that our yes or no is convincing enough, and we do not stumble into hypocrisy. Are there any believers in your fellowship suffering great hardship and distress? Encourage them to pray. Are they happy, cheerful ones among you? Encourage them to sing out their praises. Are there any sick among you? Then ask the elders of the church to come and pray over the sick and anoint them with oil in the name of our Lord. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Amen. Somebody gave me a little package this morning. It says, go beyond. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 12. Go beyond. Go beyond the natural. Go beyond your emotions. Go beyond what he tells you to do. And do it in spite of the old you.
Amen. Wow. Okay. That just...
Amen.
The old you is going to hold you in bondage. The old you will drag you back down into the garbage. The old you should be dying.
Oh my goodness.
It actually died.
It has died, but it's usually resurrected by bad words,
yeah.
Bad confessions, yeah. Bad thought patterns, and you go right back and you say, oh my God, I used to live here. Oh no, I'm not living here anymore. And you wake up. And you pulled it down. You got to put it beneath your feet. You cannot do what you did last year and think it's going to be okay. Because it's not going to be okay. The place to go beyond is by choice. Ask the elders of the church to come and pray over the sick and anoint them with oil in the name of our Lord. And the prayer of faith. See, I told you about Elijah. Okay? Beforehand. It was a prayer of faith. And you can look it up. Okay? The prayer of faith will heal the sick and the Lord will raise them up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. Yeah. Confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another. And then pray for one another to be instantly healed. For tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. What kind?
Godly
believer. Elijah was a man with human frailties, just like all of us. But he prayed and received supernatural answers. He actually shut the heavens over the land, so there would be no rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again, and the skies opened up over the land, so that the rain came again and produced the harvest. Finally, as members of God's beloved family, we must go after the one who wandered from the truth and bring him back. For the one who restores the sinner or the sinning believer back to God from the error of his ways gives back to his soul life from the dead and covers over countless sins by the demonstration of love. You see, the restoration of the believer takes the word in action. I can remember when Holy Spirit got a hold of me about using oil instead of holy water.
Amen.
Okay? When I got Spirit-filled, it was in a Catholic church. So obviously, God used what he had available. And you could only use oil if it was consecrated by the bishop. And of course, it was called Holy Chrism. And average people could not use it, or should not use it, because we weren't holy enough. Well, we're finding out a lot of these holy ones were full of holes. And I'm not accusing, I'm just saying, okay, just saying, that there's a lot of hurt out there, a lot of control tactics out there. And I'm not criticizing, I am saying, wake up, okay? So, my first reaction was to be angry, because I did use holy water, and you have some fruit. There was tremendous fruit for me. It lasted many years. But then, Holy Spirit used Louise and Irene to take me to Gino's service at Forest Park in the little chapel. I went as a passenger in the back seat. Because Lulu was driving. Yeah. She had heard about this man of God. And that was my introduction to Gino. He prophesied over Irene. And she didn't catch it. She didn't understand what it meant. And later I understood. But it took a long time to decipher what was going on. And whatever he said about me, I don't think I could really, let's say, discern what it really meant. And so it didn't have an impact. But I did get impacted by the oil. See, that's what happened. That was the beginning. We went back, Irene and I, a little bit later on, because at that time, the business was still very, very much a part of my everyday life. So going to Springfield was a challenge. But we went back, and I believe it was the third time they had moved into the big
Trinity Cathedral,
huge place.
Yeah.
All right. And of course, it's got white marble floors. Okay. Huge. And so the next time I'm anointed, I'm in that building worshiping. And Gino pulled me out of the crowd and told me to lift up my hands, and I was anointed. And I went under the power of God for quite a while. And I can still hear him declare, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." And the guys that were helping him tried to go lay hands on me, and he pushed them all away, and he says, "No, you leave the Lord, do what needs to be done." So I was on the floor for quite a while. A few weeks later, we go back, and this time it's Irene's turn. So he prayed over her, and she went out, and she got holy laughter. I mean, her laughter was so loud, and in a church that it's all marble, it was like reverberating, and she was so angry because she couldn't get up. And she didn't want, because don't forget, a good Catholic does not laugh in church. A good Catholic is going to behave in church, okay? And not on the floor. So when she was finally able to get herself back, "I want to get out of here," she says. I embarrassed everybody, and this is like, this is very close to a mortal sin. Okay? You got to think about that. For her, that was so close to a mortal sin. So it took quite a few weeks to recover, but the giggles had invaded. Did you hear me? When Holy Spirit goes in, he does a work. It doesn't matter how long it takes for him to go and do the next level. You can stifle him, you can shut him down, but you'll never shut him out. Okay? You can stifle the future levels that he wants to give to you. It's not important if it takes 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. It's not important. What's important is his schedule according to your ability to humble yourself and to say, "Let your plan unfold." Would you let your plan unfold, Holy Spirit? Would you now take me, because now I'm willing to let go of the old? Was there anything wrong with what we were brought up with? Yes. But even what we do today, there's a lot left that's still wrong.
His focus is on the potential, there is
a change. But the thing is that I'm trying to tell you is, once the seven spirits of God have invaded you in their fullness, like they did with Jesus, you're going to look at this day and see it full of flaws. Why? Because the revelator is going to keep going. He's not going to stop. He wants us to be able to do more than what Jesus did. Okay?
Yes.
And you're going to demonstrate your Father's power and his glory to those around you.
Amen.
That's why he had to whittle down what he needed to do with us, because you know what? We discussed this yesterday. There was 120 in the upper room. But Jesus gave the commission to 500, and they almost all walked away. What has changed? From 2,000 years ago, and Jesus himself said, "Stay here and wait." And 380 walked away.
Remember what you said Friday night?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I say something real quick when you're done?
Mm-mm. Not yet.
Okay.
Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I'm here to stay.
I'm here to stay.
I'm here for the ride.
I'm here for the ride.
Whatever you've planned.
You'll empower me.
You will give me much fruit. Because of my old failures. I'll be filled with grace. To give healing.
And restoration.
To those that are more broken than I was. So it's all going to work for good. That's what Jesus is working on. And that's what the ecclesia will become. And will release into this region. Holiness. And righteousness. And the Spirit of truth will rule. And it will start with me. This very day. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Don't stop, Lord. Keep giving me the grace to go higher and higher. Hallelujah. I'm going to repeat it again. I'm going to go beyond. I'm going higher. And some of it is Darlene's fault.
Amen. Pastor.
1 minute.